Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Today is the 6th of May, the 126th day of 2024, with 241 days ahead of us on our way to 2025. Some sources tell us May derives from the Latin Maius, which was named after the Greek goddess Maia, whom the Romans identified with via their goddess of fertility, Bona Dea, by holding festivals in May. Other sources, among them the Roman poet Ovid, holds that May is named for maiores, the Latin word for elders, with the subsequent month June named for juniores, or young people. I'm inclined to favor Ovid's take on this these days, when having become one of the elders has me frequently feeling whether, like Rodney Dangerfield, I'm receiving any respect at all from the juniors. Nonetheless, we're about 5 weeks and change from another change of seasons, and therefore, quoting from Shakespeare's Sonnet 18, "Shall I compare thee to a summer's day?" might appear premature, but the third line has always been one of my favorites. "Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May." Not only because the line ends in the title of a brilliant British comedy series from the early 1990s, starring a then relatively unknown and young Welsh actress Catherine Zeta-Jones, but also because, as I stand by patiently waiting for the flora in my garden to emerge, those tentative little stems and petals most certainly have to adapt quickly to survive the blasts of May breezes. Transitioning from the last of April to the beginning of May this past week has included an up-close-and-personal look at the ways the University of Maine has not demonstrated much empathy with the protests occurring elsewhere in the U.S. on college campuses regarding how far past enough is enough matters have gone regarding Israelis killing Palestinians. Frederick Lawrence, former president of Brandeis University and current distinguished lecturer at Georgetown Law School, spoke out this past week. "You are not entitled to be intellectually safe," he said, continuing. "You are entitled to be physically safe." The full interview with Amy Goodman on Democracy Now! Is well worth hearing. Heavenward, we have a waning crescent last quarter moon for now, and a new moon due midweek, meaning not much moonlight was in the way of our seeing Eta Aquarid meteor shower this morning before dawn. Checking out the Eta Aquarids again tomorrow morning before dawn is on the agenda. Currently, look east early morning just above the horizon to find the planets Mercury, Mars, and Saturn keeping company with a most slender crescent moon. Today in 1527, in what some historians call the end of the Renaissance, Spanish and German imperial troops sacked Rome. Today in 1529, at the Battle of Gogra, Mughal Emperor Babur trounced the Afghans and the Bengals. Today in 1541, King Henry VIII ordered a Bible in English to be placed in every church in England. Today in 1835, James Gordon Bennett Sr. published the first issue of the New York Herald, which sold for 1 cent. Today in 1837, U.S. blacksmith John Deere created the first steel plow in Grand Detour, Illinois. Today, in 1851, Linus Yale Jr. patented the Yale cylinder lock. Today in 1915, Babe Ruth hit his first Major League Baseball home run. Today in 1937, the German airship Hindenburg exploded over Lakehurst, New Jersey, killing 35 of the 97 people on board and one person on the ground. Today in 1954, Englishman Roger Bannister became the first person to run a sub-4-minute mile in Oxford. Today in 1960, U.S. President Dwight Eisenhower signed the Civil Rights Act of 1960. Today in 1966, the Rolling Stones released the single Paint It Black in the U.S., featuring Brian Jones's sitar playing. Today in 1994, Nelson Mandela and the ANC were confirmed as winners in South Africa's first post-apartheid election, and the Channel Tunnel connecting England and France officially opened. Today in 2020, at least 90,000 healthcare workers worldwide had been infected by COVID-19, with more than 260 nurses having died, according to the International Council of Nurses. Today in Vienna, Austria, in 1856, Jakob Freud, a wool merchant, and his wife Amelie Nathanson welcomed their first child, Sigmund, into the world. Seven additional children would follow, but Sigmund would always be Amelie's favorite. Biographer Ed Morrow tells us Amelie was certain Sigmund would become a great man, and she indulged him at the expense of his siblings. In turn, Sigmund developed an unusually strong attachment to his mother, so after being spurned by a girl when he was 16, Sigmund developed a crush on his mother and didn't show any interest in other women until he was 26. Amelie became peculiar as she aged, refusing to understand the inflation that plagued Germany after World War I, and insisting that her daughter, who had spent her life caring for Amelie, was wasting money when the daughter could not buy goods at pre-war prices. This meant Sigmund and his brothers had to slip their sister money to pay Amelie's bills. Sigmund Freud's mother also thought she was much younger appearing than her years, at 90 refusing the gift of a shawl because she thought it would make her look old. At 95, she complained that newspaper photo of her was a bad reproduction. It makes me look 100. Today is also the birthday in 1574 of Pope Innocent X. In 1758, a French revolutionary, Maximilien Robespierre. In 1856, of American polar explorer and sometime Eagle Island, Maine resident, Robert Perry. In 1870, of American banker and Bank of America founder, Amedeo Giannini. In 1870, of American Pulitzer Prize-winning cartoonist John T. McCutcheon. In 1895, of Italian actor Rudolph Valentino. In 1915, of actor and director Orson Welles. In 1931, of American baseball center fielder Willie Mays. In 1945, of American singer and songwriter Bob Seger. In 1953, of British Prime Minister Tony Blair. And in 1955, of American rock keyboardist Kim Bullard. For more on Omaine, I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Here's to the 8th week of spring and to the 19th week of 2024.